on the phone now, Democratic Senator Bert Johnson of Highland Park. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good evening to you.
Very good. I'm happy to talk with you again. We had such a nice conversation the last time we spoke. You've had an interesting and busy week already. Pardon me?
I said very.
Very. Well, I guess I could also add which of them aren't interesting and busy.
Right.
But specifically earlier in the week, yesterday, Senate Democrats put out a press release of talking about the what is quoted as the relentless attack on Michigan seniors by Senate
right.
Republicans. And I just wanted to talk to you about that a little bit and where that state where the press release came from.
Well, it was born, really, of several amendments that we tried to add on yesterday. One simply would have gotten rid of the pension tax that we believe was ill-conceived in its inception. And then the other two were really to make to establish more fairness, if you will, in the whole pension tax conversation. And so we wanted to protect against those who might have their Social Security pensions taxed, and we also wanted to protect against those who, in fact, were paying a higher rate into the pension tax. And we just thought that Republicans needed to see the light of day on that.
And I take it you don't believe that they did.
We don't. They voted down those amendments and said that they were draconian and not needed. And we even asked that in the instance that the Paul Ryan proposition out at, in Congress, that if it passed, we even asked that it would be that the pension tax would be taken into account from that standpoint, and we do something with it to close loopholes, and they said no.
Well, what is interesting too, and I'm guessing from your point of view that there were some adjustments made by the Republicans on the pension tax. For instance, taking police officers and firefighters out of that mix.
Right, and we agreed with that, and you saw us vote in unison and with the Republicans on that issue because we believe that that was a fairness issue. We just believe that there were more fairness issues that they could have taken into account. And since they didn't, they saw those amendments. We saw those amendments go down in flames.
Is discussion on changes to any pension tax reforms or any changes in that, is that over now?
Well, I bet Republicans would say that it's over, but I think you will see shortly that the pension tax will probably be a bit like the MBT. It will become despised, hated, and it will really be seen for the there's a lot of disparity between age groups and the pension tax. And I think you're going to see it eventually become hated, much like the MBT. And the fact that we actually had to retool some of it as early as yesterday, and we've only had it pass for a few weeks now, I think really demonstrates that it was flawed in its inception.
What are you hearing from your constituents? Is this a great concern to them?
It is, and I think if there were anything that were going to rile up seniors and retirees and get them active and make them realize that while they wanted to pass the baton off to us younger activists, that they actually have to get back in the game, it was something like this pension tax. They've been out on the ground. I've been all around the state to talk to retirees and pensioners, and they all say the same thing, that first of all, I worked hard for that money and paid taxes. Second of all, to spring this on us and make us a part of a big fix to give money away to corporate giants is ill-conceived and disingenuous, and it just suggests that we're going to fight for it. So that's why I think you've seen seniors really, really active around the Capitol and really active around the state. They're coalescing in ways that I haven't seen them do it in the 10 years I've been in the Capitol.
Were there changes in the way pensions are done and tax issues with the pensions? Were there changes that could have been made had they not been this drastic?
I would say yes, but I think the smart money would have been on not doing it in the first place. And the reason we as Democrats say that is because it's more a gimmick than a systemic fix. If you look at the number of people who are going to be paying into pensions, or receiving pensions rather, as they sunset out of the workforce, that number is going to dwindle over time because more of us are in defined contribution benefits than anything else. And so as these folks continue to age out and then pass on to glory, or God forbid, move away from our state, you're going to see that over the next 10 years, that pension tax capture is going to be a small part of what they actually capture today. So in my estimation, it proves more a gimmick just to simply figure out how to plug a hole in this budget giveaway that was to put billions of dollars in corporate giants' pockets. That's what remains wrong with it in our estimation.
Another subject, Senator Johnson, you introduced legislation just today to form a regional transit authority in.
Yes.
And tell me about what this will do for the region in southeastern Michigan.
Oh my! If we can get a regional transit authority passed in the state of Michigan, and I verily believe that we will, I think it's the perfect storm now that has culminated that brings us to this place. And what you will see is economic activity like you have never, ever heard. In the state of Michigan, we have been a donor state to the rest of the country for decades. And we have never been in a position to pull back for ourselves that kind of money, billions of dollars that I'm speaking of, that kind of money to excite the economy here locally. When you talk about attracting jobs and they talk about the Ambassador Bridge issue and they talk about jobs in the economy, this is the biggest economic engine driver that we could push into the southeast area of the state. It's the biggest thing that we've been working on since we've been elected, and I think everybody's starting to understand it. The editorials are all over the place. The business community wants it. Everybody understands it's small and medium level business creation, and people get to put their hands on a better transportation system. I'm excited about it.
Well, I can hear that in your voice, sir. I can hear that in your voice. Just for folks to clarify, by becoming a regional transit authority, it enables what to happen? Its funds come in, and tell us about that.
It puts us in position to make a play for billions of dollars that are set aside for transportation and mass transit funding out at the federal government. And the president and his transportation secretary, Ray LaHood, have really been adamant that when and if Michigan can get its Regional Transit Act together, that they would be big players in making it happen for us. And so it really does establish that conversation from Detroit all the way out to the federal government that we're ready to receive billions of dollars to build out a mass transit system and, likewise, to really coordinate a strong and robust regionally coordinated bus system so we can move people in and out of the region more effectively.
So you are all about helping us get it together.
Without question, and absolutely on board is Tom Casperson, who is the transportation chair in the Senate. And if you look at your map of Michigan, he is a gentleman just shy of being a Youper.
I have had him on the show. He's wonderful.
And he is really, he's as excited as I am, and he understands the nuances, and he's going to be a big partner in this whole program.
Well, I did think in a press release that was sent out from your office, it talked about one of the 41 largest metropolitan areas in the nation. Metro Detroit is the only one lacking an RTA, and that's kind of shocking.
Exactly. And so when you hear the governor talk about going from 49th or 50th to first, or when you hear him talk about putting Michigan at the front of the food chain as it relates to federal funding, this is how you do it. And to go from, to leapfrog everybody else, to be the new kid on the block, to be establishing an RTA, to give the federal government an opportunity to really come and play in our backyard like they've wanted to for years, I think will be pretty exciting for Michiganders. And frankly, we will be more attractive to young people to keep them here because we can move them in and about the metro area without them having to actually put their hands on a driving wheel, steering wheel.
Well, that's good for so many reasons.
Very much so.
Wow. Well, since you mentioned the bridge and transportation earlier, I'm going to ask you before we run out of time, your position on the new Detroit River Bridge.
I've been very clear that no matter who builds a bridge, the first thing that I'm interested in is making sure that the people in Delray, where that bridge will be landed, are really taken care of. And so for me, that comes in the form of a community benefits arrangement or an agreement. And, you know, it's a very common thing across the country. And so I'm interested to see just how committed this governor is. He's been very committed to deadlines and wanting to get a bridge done, and even Canada, if you will. But I want to see to what extent he's committed to those citizens in Delray. And we'll see what comes of it. I know there were some hearings today, mm-hmm. and those hearings will continue. I'm really interested in what happens for the people.
Well, and I'm guessing you're going to keep a close eye on this issue for your constituents.
Absolutely.
Very
Absolutely.
Good. As always, a pleasure to talk with you, sir. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.